CinemaVino is brought to you by Audible.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to read the first ad because apparently I'm extremely inappropriate. Well, I think Sean and Todd are a couple idiots.
Well, thank you, Travis.
I'm the perfect guy to read this copy because I love Audible. I listen to all of the Lord of the Rings books, and I'm currently listening to Once and Future King. I love it.
And you didn't use any profanity there. I'm very proud of you.
Go blink yourself, Todd. With Audible, you get that plus thousands of audiobooks and podcasts across a ton of genres.
With an Audible membership, you gain access to all the titles you want, plus keep one title per month for yourself. Download the Audible app and you can listen at home, driving in the car, or just about anywhere.
Todd, you're horrible at this. Let me take it from here. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to enjoy all the perks of membership, plus receive a free title just for signing up. Visit www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino to start today. That's www.audibletrial.com/cinemavino.
And welcome back.
Yo. CinemaVino.
Yo.
It's good to have you guys here. CinemaVino.
Beans. What?
And man, and we are drinking a garnacha that would go really well with a large steaming plate of beans. I don't know about you guys, but...
What kind of beans?
I mean,
beans from...
Any bean.
I think Borracho beans go real well with that.
I like Del Monte beans.
Del Monte beans.
You are not wrong, my friend.
They have some good beans.
Yeah.
Their beans are the finest.
Finest of the beans.
Perhaps the tastiest beans out there.
What we need is an Audible book where somebody reads the history of beans on tape. I would subscribe to that immediately. But
Mr. Bean.
I would.
And he reads it.
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson.
What I need is the history of beans.
The history of beans with a thick British accent. That is heaven for me. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm watching a Western where they, you know, they always have some guy named Cookie making something out of the back of a wagon. Big old plate of beans.
Is Cookie a stripper?
That's... City Slickers. Yeah. And he's always adding too much bourbon to his beans.
Yeah, baked beans.
Or, you know, he's sucking back on himself.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, CinemaVino is brought to you by beans.
Beans. Nope, by Audible.
By Audible.
Yeah. But, you know.
And beans.
We can dream.
Yeah. We can bean.
We can bean dream. Okay, so we're going to talk about The Witch.
Okay.
Horror movie came out in 2015, directed by Robert Eggers, and we are drinking... Galerna Garnacha. This is our second Garnacha of the night. Lovely Spanish red. A great bottle, too. That's a nice little fun.
It is pretty
fun. It's floral.
Yeah.
Trav, I mean, there's nothing. Oh,
pretty okay. Flowers in there.
Yeah, he's going to get all.
Yeah.
All right.
This one is about $15. It's an organic red. So, yeah, fully organic. It's tasty. It's nice, bright, fruity, but still has some good body to it. You know, it's got some nice earthy, like kind of peppery flavor to it. I think it'd go really well with a steak. I think you could do this garnacha with a steak. It'd be great.
Ooh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I think you could do it with burgers, grilled food. I think it'd be good with that too.
Beans?
Or yeah. Big old steaming plate of beans.
What kind of beans?
Ooh, that would be good with this.
Holy shit, this is really good.
Actually, I'm gonna throw a little curveball here. Bean casserole.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Green bean casserole, perhaps?
Yeah.
Send us your bean casserole recipes.
How much
please.
Is this bottle?
It's about 15, like $14.99.
Yeah, that range. I'll do that.
This is a banger for 14.
Yeah, it's a good buy, I think. Totally.
Is it best buy?
It is a solid for that price. I think you're getting a good wine. So, but yeah, Galerna Garnacha. So I'll post a link on our website, which you can also find wherever you're streaming this.
And you'll also take a picture of the bottle and add it to our post.
I will. Yeah.
Vegan.
Yeah.
Like most wines.
And I'm going to tag Del Monte, too. So there you go. They can share us their thoughts as well. So The Witch, this was your pick, right, Sean?
No, I think this was Travis.
Oh, okay. T-Bud got two
for two.
Piece.
Not bad.
Back to backs.
Yeah. And I think it's a compliment. This strikes me as a Sean Jordan pick.
Oh,
this does kind of match my tone a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Horror movie wise.
Yeah.
And I've also, have none of you seen it before?
No,
I have not.
No.
This is the first.
I figured Sean had seen it, and then
we had talked about it in the past,
and
for sure.
I wanted Taylor to see it, so I wanted to pick it. But, all right, sweet.
So, this was released on Sundance Festival, January 27, 2015. Wide release a year later, February 2016. Directed by Robert Eggers, who also would direct The Irishman, which we watched. The Northman.
Yeah.
Which we watched and podcasted over.
And The Lighthouse.
And the Lighthouse.
I still have not seen. I bought that movie.
You should.
Still haven't watched it.
And you want to have your omelet bar on the island and you've never seen the Lighthouse before? You need to see how it ends.
I was going to say, this movie does have Willem Dafoe energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It does. Yeah, you could see him as like the dad or whatever.
Yeah.
In this.
I always see him as my dad.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad.
it's weird how that happens. But I mean, this kind of strikes a similar vibe as The Northman. It's like kind of has that kind of dark, dour, kind of grim feel to it. Very severe movies to watch. The Northman was a good movie. That was my only real beef with it. It is a very stark, severe movie to watch. It's almost like a chore. It's so heavy going to get through.
Travis kind of... I've told him a little bit, like, this is just an A24 film.
It
was like, just in general, it was like, and like when it ended, I was like, well, that's an A24 film.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just kind of like from the music to just, just the intensity
color
of
palette.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that was A24 and I liked it, but
Midsummer is an A24 film.
It is. Yeah.
For our listeners.
Continue. Yeah. But I was just like, well, that's what they, and The Green Knight. Mm-hmm. And so which I guess the dad played a part in that was...
The dad was the Green Knight.
That's
right. You're right.
The voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, because his voice early on was just like, who is this guy?
And I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, actually, I thought he was the dad in Inglourious Bastards at first.
Yeah.
I thought he was like the guy that was sitting there and I was like, oh, that's him. I'm like, nope, that is not him.
Strong resemblance.
The dad is also in Game of Thrones. He is one of the guys from Pyke when Theon takes over Winterfell and then they decide to leave. He's one of the guys that knocks out Theon. It's like, nope, fuck it. We're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the boatsman.
Yeah. Both parents are in Game of Thrones, the mom and the dad.
Oh, yeah. And she's always doing weird stuff with her nipples.
Oh, yeah. She's Lysa Arryn.
Yeah. She's the one who's breastfeeding her
12-year-old kid.
12-year-old son.
Yeah. They've got the moon door.
Hmm. I feel like there's a third work as well where like she's like breastfeeding or something. I was like, is this actress breastfeeding in every single
It's a trope for her now.
Yeah.
You find a niche and you stick
now,
to it.
Yeah. I might only be, there might only be two, but I for some reason think I've seen her in a third film and I'm just like, what is this deal?
Interesting. Well, if you guys know, reach out to us.
Oh, last thing, Todd, before you hop back into it, we just did our podcast on Return of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. It cost $4 million to make. This movie also cost $4 million to make. Interesting to note.
And you see a lot more on the screen with this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inflation's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, they just had to find a place to shoot and then build some rickety houses and stuff. And then I heard the biggest problem with filming is trying to get that damn goat to stay somewhere in a shot. Like, they're not like dogs.
Having grown up on a farm, I can testify goats are horrible animals.
You ever they're been horrible. Impaled by a goat?
Never been. I've never seen a goat that was that violent.
All right. Let's hear. I want to hear your homework.
Goats are nasty. I'll back that up.
Goats are nasty.
They are.
Not like beans.
Yeah. We had goats. We had goats that would pull clothes off the clothesline and eat them. So there's that. True story.
Clothes aren't food.
No. You telling me?
Crazy ass.
You preach the choir.
Beans are food.
Beans are exactly right.
Magical fruit.
Yeah. Okay. So this film features the debut of Anya Taylor-Joy, who went on to many other films. Yeah. So the film is set during the early 17th century, somewhere in New England and the colonies. Follows a family of Puritans who, in the beginning of the film, are banished from their religious community for reasons I never either heard or... They didn't explain fully.
I think it was because he was too devout and he was being kind of a dick at church. And they were just like, if you want to be a dick at church, you can go be a dick outside of the commune.
Yeah. They're like, you're kind of a dick. God loves everybody, but you're too
much
of
a dick.
Which
for Puritans to kick you out for being too much of a dick is
saying something.
Yeah. That's saying something. Cause Puritans are dicks.
Yeah.
Family settles on their own. They're terrorized by supernatural forces in the forest around them, which includes witches who target their children one at a time and a Faustian goat who may be the devil in an animal form. As the children get picked off one at a time, suspicion falls on Thomason, who's played by Taylor-Joy, as being the witch responsible for the abductions. Family members begin to turn on each other, falling into paranoia and religious hysteria. And that's what I've got for the description, so... And it's a lean movie at 90 minutes or whatever. That pretty much covers the plot.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear, Sean, we'll start with you. Because this strikes me. I know Trav picked it. It's your wheelhouse, too.
No, I know. This did seem like my wheelhouse. Honestly, not as scary as I thought it would be. No. it was kind of like a slow burn horror movie. It was like building tension. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really well executed. Like it was really well done, filmed really well. Again, like you said, the color palette, you know, very much screamed like A24. Like mm-hmm. you can look at this movie and just be like, okay, this is the same guy that did The Lighthouse, which is like all black and white.
Very wintry.
Very wintry.
All of his movies are very wintry feeling.
Yeah, well, it really adds to like the mise-en-scene of mm-hmm. the movie. Ooh. Where it's, you know, there's a lot of
$7.
Like, yeah. Everything feels kind of dead, right? Like not just like their lives are kind of dour. All their food is dead. Like all the wood is dead.
They don't even have Bluetooth.
Yeah,
I know.
Like, where's their Wi-Fi?
Where did they even have Dua Lipa playing anywhere?
Fuck you. Like, you guys got Nintendo Switch? Nothing?
Not even a PlayStation? Disgusting.
Jeez. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was really well executed. I think the artistry of the movie is great. I thought the plot was fine, but I think ultimately it kind of fell flat to me. Just it kind of ended really abruptly. I feel like I got what they were doing, but it just didn't build up the tension enough to resolve the way that it did. Yeah. I was kind of looking for something more, but I really enjoyed the storytelling. They did a lot of integration of like actual like Salem witch trial, like stuff from that same era. A lot of the same sort of lines that were sort of brought up. You know, they kind of pulled from actual history of like witchcraft and like what was going on at that time period. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. Cause I, you know, very recently listened to like a 4 or 5 part podcast about the Salem witch trials and like everything going on there, because the twins, you know, them, you know, sort of playing off of each other and going into mad hysteria and being like, oh, she's the witch. And then them, like, as soon as the son started dying,
yeah,
like
mimicking, yeah.
They also mimicked and they went into their own little coma. That's the exact same shit that happened in the Salem witch trial. It's like, it's kids doing stupid shit and just like totally throwing off everything and everyone being like, oh, well, these kids are afflicted. It's the witches. You know, that shit happened. I mean, people died because like some stupid fucking toddler was just like, oh, she told me she was a witch and now I'm witched. Ah,
it's because they don't have anything to do. Those need to be the fucking tablet kids.
Yeah. Those
kids need like an iPad and they need some Candy Crush.
Nintendo Switch.
Like if they had Candy Crush back then, there wouldn't be this fucking problem.
I just want you to know that an iPad is the only thing keeping you from your wife being accused of being a witch.
Yeah, that's like, true.
If your child...
I don't know if that's the only thing, but that's one of the things.
If your child did not have like Bluey and construction videos, mm-hmm. like he would be straight up sending some people to witch jail.
And we're not out of the woods on that yet either, so.
Yeah, TBD.
Yeah, that's the jury's out.
Yeah. But, I thought it was an enjoyable watch. I was glad I watched it. Even on the horror movie curve, I kind of rate this one a little bit lower because it didn't quite tickle my jimmies, you know? I think it probably got me to like a 6. I think on the real movie curve, it was also like a 6. Like, I think those two are actually closer.
No.
But on the horror movie scale, I'd probably put it at like a 6-ish.
Yeah, this is one of those films where I probably will not watch it again. But I actually liked the film. Mm-hmm. No, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But it early on, the vibe I got was, this is The Village by M. Night Shyamalan. I was like, this is, yeah. I was like, this is The Village.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it's like, there's a mysterious creatures out there. We don't know what it is. We got to hear this extremely long dialogue. And it was like, things drug on a lot for me. Mm-hmm. And P.S. I'm prefacing, I liked the movie, mm-hmm. but there were these things. I was like, man, this is The Village. And there's something out there. We're going to figure it out. And then after a while, I kind of was like, okay, it's got to be the goat. Somehow the goat is involved in this. It's like they already have a song about him. And
okay,
I was
those like, songs fucking slap.
I was like, those kids were spitting lyrics.
How did those 4-year-olds come up with those songs?
Yeah, and it was like, so there was something going on. But I liked cinematography. I loved everything. I actually did like the dialogue. I liked it at the very end. I kind of said it took from some of those diaries and court records, and I thought the acting was really, really good.
Yeah.
I thought the scenes were shot well. I loved the film, but you're right, Sean, like the ending, it just didn't really like tickle my pickle. I thought it was very cool. I liked the finally seeing the witch at the very end, and the Lucifer part was by far, whoever it was by far the like
Black Phillip.
Yeah. Black was like the best like his voice at the very end.
Oh, yeah, this is going to have spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. Like, this is, that's what we do. But that was like really cool for me. So that I had to watch, 89 minutes of movie to get that last minute of like, just
wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a like, great question. Who's going to answer no to that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, obviously I would, yes.
That's a true Faustian bargain. Do you want to live deliciously? Yeah. No.
I think
no.
That was the tagline after they had, like, it had been out for a while. They were like, oh, yeah, we're going to add this to the poster.
Yeah.
So if like, your world is that gray and someone asks you if you'd like to live deliciously, your idea of delicious is like one tapioca bean.
Yeah.
Would you like to enjoy the taste of butter? Yes.
Yes.
Would you like a pretty dress? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Would I like to see the world? Yes.
Yeah.
All of the above.
How cheap were people?
You want me to get naked?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will remove my shift.
The devil has to spend out the ass these days. It's like, would you like butter? What? No. Okay.
No.
Do you want a pretty dress?
I mean, wait, hold on. Sure. What kind of butter? Yeah. Like,
salted or unsalted?
A flowy sundress?
Yeah.
Maybe like, margarine?
Yeah. I've got a refrigerator. Like, I can,
sorry, devil. I have butter. You can't have me.
Would you like to see the world? Well, I've been to Destin.
I mean,
like on Instagram?
Yeah, you're talking like a timeshare? So,
I mean, the devil in 2022, he's 100% an influencer.
He's got to work for his shit.
He's got at least 47,000 followers.
No, but to your point, I do think that the sum was more, or the parts of the movie were more than the sum.
And it might be all things all the time.
Wait,
what's that like to live deliciously?
Beans. I said
beans. Oh yeah,
beans all
Lucifer
the time.
Probably has an Instagram account about beans.
You can tell me. You can tell me Satan has twice as many followers as Del Monte Corn.
Well, maybe what if Del Monte Corn had sold its soul, maybe they're
his bean soul.
They could get some more followers.
Satan, I'm like a big bowl of sweet corn, please.
We'll follow for likes, like for likes, you know. Lucifer having OnlyFans.
Oh, you know he does.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's super expensive, though.
Yeah.
So.
That's like $15 a month. That's
$14.99.
That is sin. Yeah. $15 a month.
He gets you with those free trials.
No.
Just pouring beans on
you
himself.
Keep it at $9.99 and that's it. That is a Christian thing to do.
So, Travis, what did you think of this movie?
So, Tate, did you finish your
thoughts on it? Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, besides beans, I give it as Sean said, this.
Besides beans.
Yeah. It's like, besides beans, I will give this movie, it really is. It's like, because I had a hard time being like, what is this, a horror film? It's just kind of got this suspenseful kind of film. But I kind of agree with Sean. It's like, I would probably give it a 6 on both scales, six beans. That's all I'm giving it. And it was like 6 beans. And I said, I probably won't watch it again, but I would recommend it. Yeah. I'd be like, check this film out. It's interesting.
It's 6 kidney beans.
Yeah, it's 6 kidney beans. It's like,
I might actually give it 7 on the movie scale, 6 on the horror scale.
Yeah, I will say, I will say, because like visually, I really did like it. It was like, I was like, man, I do have appreciation for those type of films. So it's like, man, this is like well done. The acting was really good. And it's like, but again, it wasn't like, it wasn't my cup of beans.
Yeah.
So
I give it a 7 on both scales. Now when I went and saw this, like it had been out for a while. So some word of mouth had trickled down. I follow a lot of weird shit on my accounts. So somehow it came to me where like Black Phillip or like all about this goat. I was like, the fuck is this goat? Or like even there would be memes or TikToks or reels about it. I'm like, what is this? And I looked it up. So I spoiled the movie for myself before I saw it. But I was like, oh, this wasn't on my radar at all, but now it is. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go see this in theaters. So I went and saw it. I could not understand one fucking thing that the dad said in this without subtitles.
Same.
Because it was so, like, imagine his voice, but imagine the bass of a movie theater. And so everything just sounded like...
Like Bane.
He sounded like a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
So I didn't hardly understand anything he said. And obviously their vernacular is a little bit weird and little Shakespearean. So it was, like, difficult to follow. But I barely could hear anything he said. But I was waiting the whole time knowing that Black Phillip, that whole turn. But I really liked the, I have to say, M. Night Shyamalan twist where it's called The Witch. and you see the witch in it a few times, but then you're like, oh shit, they're talking about her. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't in on any of it other than fucking with her.
Dude, she mashed up a baby pretty early in this movie.
Yeah. That's just
like churning butter with a baby.
It was less than 8 minutes in, and there was already a blood sacrifice. Mm-hmm. She rubbed herself down with baby's blood and her broom so she could fly.
Mm-hmm. She really
get young.
Which the broom was just a stick, right? Like there was
just a stick.
You can't sweep with that 2000. At all.
No. Yeah.
But she looked fine as hell when she was young. When she made herself young from the baby, I'm like,
is that the Game of Thrones thing with the red woman?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think she was wearing like a red cloak. I think there's a whole bunch.
That was the only color.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of like little Easter
pops
eggs
of color
in the film for like witches and stuff like that. But the I don't have another example, but I like the fact that this is a very like low magic movie. You don't see all of the crazy stuff that happens. Like, obviously, you see her rubbing the blood on her broom, and then you see kind of like floating. But that's, you don't see other weird matter. Like, you don't see the goat talking at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps it back and away from you, and he's all whispering. I was like, which I think is super effective.
Yeah.
But so I thought the film was fine until you got to the end, and you're like, oh shit, the twist with Black Phillip. So that's what made the film for me and what makes it good to go back and watch a second time. I think this was the third time I watched it, and then I went to go pick up Taylor and I watched the tail end again. But for me, it's effective. But then again, I spoiled myself before I ever saw it the first time. I knew what I was getting into. And after I saw it, I was like, yeah, this is really pretty good. I mean, it's interesting to see how much they did with so little. Like, it's just one set, mm-hmm. other than at the beginning when they're leaving. And you never really see anything outside of that, like, church area. You see the doors open and them kind of leave, and you see a couple buildings, and then that's it. And then they're in that field the whole rest of the time.
Well, I like how subtly they were able to do, like, ominous scenes, like when they're in the goat pen or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just comment, like, you can hear her at night. She creak, creak, and through the sticks. And like they're in the goat pen, you just hear like click, 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 click.
Oh yeah.
That's just the subtlety of like the witch is coming, the witch is coming. Mm-hmm. But like not being super obvious and not showing like a floating, like old naked granny.
Yeah.
You know.
Which they do show some of those as well.
Oh, there's some granny butt for sure.
Yeah.
You see her churning out all like at the beginning.
So much granny butt.
Yeah. And then when she's eating or like drinking the goat blood or whatever, it's just They don't shy away from it, but they definitely zoom in where you're just like, oh man, this is not gonna be good. This is not gonna be good. And that freaky fucking bunny.
Yeah.
That rabbit with just like the crazy wild eyes. No. Yep. No, sir.
Creepiest bunny this side of Monty Python for sure.
Yeah. And then people are immediately gonna hate this movie because they kill the dog.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see it on screen.
Nope.
So
yeah. No. A lot of it happens off screen. And then
that would cost money.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, it's effective to do that. It's the Jaws thing. I'm like, they don't have the budget to show Jaws the whole movie, but not showing them for the first half.
But they could show a crow adds mutilating a breast.
Mm-hmm.
You got a little bit of that.
They made the time for that.
You can't skip on the nipple getting bit.
Yeah, right. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, though. It's probably a 7 as a movie. I liked it almost as a character study of like religious hysteria, like religious repression, kind of like people who were just stuck in that confine of, you know, oh my God, you know, like extreme puritanical, just, you know, that space of like we're living in sin, we're automatically sinful, we're shameful, we're regretful. You know, it's like we have so much stuff to be ashamed of.
It really is like a mass hysteria based off of like religious fanatical thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's funny how that stuff just keeps happening.
Keeps going, huh?
Yeah. Keeps happening in multiple places. Common themes, no one knows.
No, it all ended back then.
Yeah.
None of that today.
How'd you like the kid that, you know, Caleb gets snatched and then he gets brought back and then he vomits up an apple
with a bite taken out of it.
Yeah.
So nice.
Did he
religious
get it on
messaging
with the witch though? Did he?
I think so.
Did he get to dirty his dangle?
And see, it had the whole Snow White, the hag and the apple stuff. I mean, which
and original sin too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a nice thing for both.
Yeah, it's a specific nod to his whole conversation with his dad about like, I'm known of original sin, blah, blah, blah. Like reciting that like religious, you know, diatribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which ironically, like that in the Bible, that leads to the man gaining free will. So the idea of making their own decisions, you know, which is like,
yeah,
they feel so much guilt for in this movie of being able to make their own choices, mm-hmm. and they should be ashamed of everything in their minds. But yeah, I mean, the acting was great. The atmosphere was great. Yeah, the wintry kind of like, you know, no leaves on the trees.
Yeah. Bleak. Brown,
bleak. Yeah, the bleak
shitty
color palette.
Fucking twins.
Yeah.
Shitty fucking need a visit from the people's elbow.
I liked, my favorite part was when, like, the twins were just tied up on a rope.
Yeah.
Just, like, yeah, tied to the fence. That, like, don't great. Fucking go anywhere. Yeah.
It's like modern parents with their kids in a leash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those kids deserved a backpack leash. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a very severe movie. As a parent, like the baby being abducted and killed is a dark, you know, thing to witness.
They did that very well too. The peekaboo,
yeah,
the peekaboo game.
Yeah. And it's like, as a parent, like you play that with your kid. I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like it as a parent, it kind of hits that nightmare very well. That part was disturbing for me.
Well, they had so many freaking kids.
Well, especially cause like you go back to that place of having like the kid, like, as a newborn infant, you're so on edge about something's going to happen all the time. Yeah. Like, it's just like you're always in that moment of just extreme stress.
I will say the dad was like surprisingly chill about losing the baby after, yeah, like a week.
Yeah.
And he was just son. Like, he was like, yeah, we've been over this. We need to move on.
Yeah.
And the mom's,
yeah,
just like, no, I'm still pretty upset. And he's just like, listen, God blessed us with a lot of kids, and so far we hadn't lost one, so we're, yeah, doing pretty good.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. He lost his second son and goes outside to like help Thomason. He's like, man, do you remember this tree when we first got here? It's going to be grown up. It's going to be
so good.
Yeah. It's going to have a wall over there. Anyway, you can go ahead and tell me you're a witch. It's all right.
he's I like just your dialogue for that.
He's, yeah, just a dad who's just like out looking at his yard, just like,
yeah,
pretty nice yard. You're not a witch.
Get some burrito
great,
over there.
Great yard, though.
What, yeah, I never noticed the first two times I think I saw this was whenever the mom, whenever after their second son dies, and she's getting out of bed right before she sees the little, you know, her ghost two kids there. When she leans over to do the fireplace, you can see her silver cup is back.
Yeah.
It's in the background.
Yep.
I never noticed that the first couple of times I watched it. I was like, oh shit. And then she hears something, turns around, and then sees the
yeah, that's kid. That's how you knew it was a, mm-hmm, dream or an illusion of some kind. Something.
And I always thought, I was like, okay, she's being bewitched, but I guess that's Lucifer, because you never see the kid talk to her. It's like she gives him a hug, and when his face is off screen, then you hear
the
him,
voice.
But he's whispering right in the scene before. Anya Taylor-Joy was like, yes, he whispers to them and, you know, speaks in whispers. And the kid was whispering the whole time. I was like, oh.
Interesting.
Missed that the first time, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I enjoyed it on that front. Anya Taylor-Joy is really good. You know, you can see why she became a star,
oh, yeah,
after this. And is continuing. She's in big movies after all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's good as almost a character study, historical character study, more so than a horror movie.
I thought Caleb did really good too.
All the actors were great.
Yeah, great
actor.
Yeah,
top to bottom.
And it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, I watched it today, and the new Apple TV, like the subtitles. Do you guys have trouble like getting the subtitles going on that, or is it just
no? Me?
I watched it.
I struggle with that.
Yeah,
and so
you didn't watch it on HBO.
You watched it on HBO through Apple TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, but I struggled to get the subtitles going. It was like, and now for that reason, like, God, I can't understand the dad. I can't understand anything he's saying.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't understand our father.
But then all the, like you said, the these, thous, the puritanical language, it's like I can't make out what the heads or tails of it. So, yeah, there is that. It makes it a little more dense and difficult to understand. But thought-provoking, good, not my cup of tea. I admired it more than I enjoyed it.
I think that's a great way to say it. It's like I definitely was like, man, I would recommend this movie. I would say this is a great movie to watch. You know, it's great, but I will probably not watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I watched it. I would recommend it.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, but that's where I am. This has been another Cinema Vino. We thank you guys very much for joining us. You got Travis Bud.
I be the witch of the
Travis
wood.
Bean Bud.
Travis Bean Bud. Kobe Bean Bryant.
I be the bean in the wood.
Taylor Owens. Sean Jordan.
Get them beans.
My name's Todd.
What's thou like to live deliciously?
What a great question. But yeah, we will see you guys. I don't remember what we got on deck next. We'll have to check that out. But we got something good.
Mystery.
Yeah.
What's thou like to taste butter?
Insidious? I think Insidious is next.
Is Insidious next?
I believe
great.
So.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Whatever the case may be, we'll have some good stuff for you. But we will see you guys next time. Not with a whimper, but
with some beans.
With a bang.
With some beans.
Not with a whimper, but with a bean.
Not with a bean, but with a whimper.
Yes. Yeah.
We will see you guys next time.
Cinema Vino is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox is a great way to spoil your pet at an affordable price. Sign up, and every month you'll get a fresh box of treats and chew toys, all specifically matched to your dog's size, weight, and health. Go to www.barkbox.com/cinemavino to get 1 month of free goodies on a multi-linked plan. That's $35 worth of presents for your pup just for signing up at www.barkbox.com/cinemavino.